Hello, Voltron fans. The AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show is back. We're looking at Season 4, Episodes 3 and 4, Black Sight and The Voltron Show, which, let's be real, is kind of what we do here. We've got two very special guests with us, and team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Go, go, have our
We have a little bit of a late show going on.
It's great.
It's mostly just at AJ's feet, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, that would be great. The tiniest little light show.
Pterodactyl!
No, you get one light and it's down
just
there.
Just the power of your presence in the studio.
Are you guys going to keep playing theme songs from shows I worked on? This is pretty cool.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that you worked on Mighty Morphin.
Yeah, I'm that old, yes.
I watched it when I was 5.
I didn't know you were...
I was older than that. I was older than 5.
You're Rita Repulsa?
What?
Goldar? Like, which?
Actually, back in the Mighty Morphin days, I was the hench villains. I was the one.
Oh, awesome.
You know, as a matter of fact, I watched the movie on HBO a couple of months ago, and I'm like watching it. I'm going, oh, that would have been so much fun to work on. And then I hear, because I was an oozling, and I go, oh, that was so much fun to work on.
That's right. What a great memory.
Oh, man. Now
I'm going to get the ball rolling before we go too far down the rabbit hole. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at Season 4, Episode 3, Black Sight, and Episode 4, The Voltron Show.
Voltron Show.
We've got all sorts of fun people in the studio tonight.
Aren't
those the words to the theme song? Voltron Show.
the Inception Womp. I have with me Red Lion Emma Fife.
Hello, that's me, Emma Fife. I can be found at my name, Emma Fife, on the internet, which is where we are right now. So here we are.
Wow.
Our blue lion, Alexis Torres, is currently battling a brain worm. You can give her your best wishes at atorres890 on the social medias. We have yellow lion, Mark Donica.
It me. I'm representing leg day. Hashtag leg day. That's me and Alexis. Hi, I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I'm happy to be here this season. Dang it. And I'm only here when people are sick, which sucks, because that means they're sick.
We had plans for all 5 of us, but now we're down a leg.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be that kind of show.
Yeah, there were always sound effects.
Just depends on who's on the board. Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's TheMenguin.
And I am Black.
It's not easy.
It's not. It's so hard.
There ain't no yellow songs, is there?
No. Look at
They call
stars.
Me Mellow Yellow.
And he is pretty mellow.
I know. It's a song about a yellow vehicle that travels underwater.
There's a Coldplay song.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yellow submersible?
There's a song about a yellow submarine.
That sounds silly.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of yellow songs.
And I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. I will get through this intro. We have a hashtag ABTV Voltron. We have a live chat if you are watching live on YouTube. And we have two very special guests with us, the voice of Zarkon himself, Neil Kaplan.
Hey! Hi, everybody.
And the voice of Lotor, AJ Locassia.
Yay!
My progeny!
We're having father-son bonding time on the show tonight. Or an episode of Mari. I'm not sure which this will be.
Zarkon, you are not
Mari,
the father.
Is that, you mean
Was
Maury.
It Maury?
Yeah, Maury.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas. I don't even know what you meant. Yeah. Maury. I'm thinking we're doing an episode on the natives of New Zealand.
Or like sister, like Tamara Maury.
Okay, so
all right, smart
I
guy.
Work at like 2 p.m. instead of watching those shows. So
I actually did work at an office where they just had a TV on, and there was a supervisor who would sit down and turn that on and would turn it up full blast. And I was like, I have to go.
I literally don't care. I don't care who the father is. We're done. All right, so the format...
Suddenly I'm flashing on Karan sitting there in a chair. And the father is...
You are not the father.
See,
we've got that you are not the father.
We've had Kree Sumner coming in with some test results. Come on it.
You are not the Black Paladin.
It does make me wonder what space reality TV is like, for sure.
I think we got a good bit of it with the second episode here.
I had a moment. I actually had a moment where I was like, we had space reality shows on this, but I was thinking of another anime series. But like, there's a lot going on in my brain is basically what I'm saying. But you know, there was definitely a lot of times happening in this episode.
A lot of entertainment, for sure.
We are formatting this episode the same way we did last week. So we will talk about these two episodes for the first half or so, and then we'll give you a spoiler warning, and we'll talk about the whole series, because we have some fun stuff that happens next week that we would like to talk to you guys about now. So,
okay.
While we have you here. So, for this
I so did not prepare for it.
I might just take a nap in the middle of this.
Wow. A little.
Really?
Is that the nap sound?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
That doesn't sound nappy to me.
That sounds very threatening. Like, if you were to take a nap, you'd just find yourself in, like, Nightmare on Elm Street territory.
It's the Inception womp.
No.
Yeah.
Right. So,
a nap sound if you're in the series day five.
Sure.
Good reference.
Yeah. Different podcast.
So for now, we're keeping it spoiler-free in the hashtag, spoiler-free in the live chat, spoiler-free in the comments. We know who you are because your names are on everything.
You piece of garbage.
So be good.
You filthy animal.
So, because we're pretty much there already, do we want to start with the Voltron show?
Yeah, because here's the thing, is I really loved this episode, and I had some friends that were complaining that it was very fillery. And I was like, but...
So what's wrong with that?
Well, I think the thing was, is they were like, there were only six episodes in this drop, so they were a little disappointed.
It was so much fun!
Fun. And on
and
top of that...
we know that these six episodes were the back half of season three.
It's very true.
So.
And I mean, talking to Lauren and Wakim about it also, like, they both very much were like, we did this episode so we could catch our breath and remember what was going on.
It was very Ember Island Players.
It was.
It was extremely Ember Island, and I'm so happy we had it.
Yeah, and it felt this was one of the episodes, despite it being the regular runtime, it went and it didn't feel long, but I could watch a movie about this storyline. And poor Karan.
I did a lot
new star
of screaming this episode.
Yeah, the every time they did the CSI into the ear, I was like, oh, no.
I know.
Yeah. I grew up on Animorphs, so the second it became an ear slug, I was like, nope.
Yeah. I was going to go Wrath of Khan with it.
No, this is much cuter.
Yeah.
I was saying,
I don't know, Monobon.
It's
cutie.
The cutest little brain slug you've ever seen, and it made him a carny.
That says Karan and brain worms. I thought it said Karan and bran worms, and I was thinking... Karan needs to be regular?
I have a doctor's handwriting.
God, it makes so much more sense now.
I have a doctor's handwriting. The whiteboard is beautiful tonight, everybody.
I've never seen a live Sentai show, but by God, like, after watching the Voltron show, I definitely, I was like, Power Rangers Live is touring, right?
Well, I was thinking it was like Mighty Morphin Paladins, you know?
Yeah. This is absolutely Sentai show fodder. This is just beat for beat live shows that a lot of Sentai shows do, and it's beautiful because all of these techniques work. Pose, yell everything, have energy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you sell a show.
Yep. Well, not even just Sentai shows, but like Marvel Live is still
touring.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of when all the things Karan was naming, like, I was like, this is brilliant, because that's actually what you experience. Where it's like, look over there! You know, you're like,
and Disney on Ice, you know, like learn how to skate, like that sort of stuff.
But by the way, I think at a certain point in time, I may have said or tweeted something about Voltron on Ice, and I'm not in this episode, so I had no idea they were actually doing it. I'm so glad that I didn't get sued.
On Ice is kind of the logical next step for a lot of, like, we're going to go bigger and better with this show. We're going to put it on Ice.
Yeah.
Come on, Hunk on Ice was just, I mean, who couldn't just watch that for
I would love
Hunk
on Ice.
I would, speaking of side stories, I would now like to see a story at some point. As a fan of the show, I'd love to see a side story about those people who said, I'll join the Voltron Coalition. I really want to see. I want to see what they do with those guys. You know, talking about a ragtag fleet.
The people that get recruited via the entertainment.
It's the space version of torches and pitchforks. Just anything they can find.
I want to see their boot camp. I want to see the boot camp for these people who are like, I saw the show and I want to join. Like, we have a special regiment for you guys.
Look, all the Bebo B people, the wormy people, all of them fighting would be the greatest visual I can imagine. Like, as soon as I didn't no idea what Bebo B was going to look like, and then when I saw it, I was like, this is the greatest thing.
Well, if you want, I can throw a box of angel hair pasta in your face.
That's what that'll
be
like.
It might be something like, shh.
It's like those things outside the car.
Yeah, oh, wacky inflatable. Yes.
The wind wave.
But better. They're better.
But they are better. Yeah.
They have a personality.
Yeah.
What takes down the Galra Empire.
But it got immediately terrifying at the end.
Oh, geez. Are you saying that they're the Ewoks of the universe?
No.
But seeing Bebo be elongate terrifyingly and get rid of the slime. Yeah. Like, now en masse. Think of that. Attacking the Galra Empire.
I think that would be devastating. Because the Galra was expecting very specific, like, we're gonna shoot at stuff.
Sure.
And kill it, and then you have these noodly things that
are
getting into your brain.
Hard that would hit? Do you know how hard something that thin would be to hit?
Yeah, that too.
It's like shooting a bunch of angel hair pasta, but it's all doing this and speaking gibberish at you.
Or maybe they have a power where they all join into one.
Oh, that's gross.
And then they just become like just the big giant, you know. Like,
it's the family like pasta at Buca di Beppo.
It's just angel hair.
Now, do you think that, you know, when they get together on Saturday nights, they like twist each other up like balloon animals?
Okay.
I thought you meant like they play Twister and it's just like
look a poodle. It's
their version of Twister. Yeah.
No.
You know where they go? It's Oscar the Grouch.
We have Flying Cheese in chat, says
it's
Bebo Bay.
It's horrifying.
Oh, Bebo Bay.
Yeah, they're like little limbs in the ball trying to deal with, like, I'm a poodle. That's
and
horrifying.
Cobalt wants a Voltron musical, which I'll get behind.
Everyone seems
I mean, last time you were here, Neil, you were singing.
Yeah, it's true.
So
I don't know if that was quite singing, but by the way,
speaking rhythmically,
whoever did that video was just a genius. And I was really surprised at how well I was able to, without a track, actually stay kind of on the beat there.
Very
it kind of worked a little bit.
That was what set the fandom on fire, and it was a thing of wonder and glory. I was just watching people lose their noise over it. Like,
again, as is with so many things, it's all thanks to Bex.
Yes.
I want Bex to sing something. Has Bex sung anything for anything?
Well, I'm sure at some point.
For this, has she
We've
done
never
any...
gotten her to sing on the show.
I won't sing, but I'll make Bex sing.
She's one of the few guests, I feel like, who has not sung on our show at all. Josh comes in and
Josh will sing everywhere. Exactly. Josh walks into places singing.
Josh just does whatever he wants.
And Jeremy treated us last week to his amazing impression of Rhys Darby. He didn't really mean to. It just kind of like naturally came out in a conversation, which was
at this point, it's actually part of his personality.
It really
that is actually an offshoot at this point.
The scratch.
He doesn't say many times.
Yeah.
Like he does all his lines when he, you know, when he's not there.
Yep.
But at the very least for us to read against. So
that's
he's got quite good.
And of course, I've been working on my lutar.
Of course. Right.
No, it's so much more beautiful than I could ever do.
Yours is very Tim Curry, which I like.
It is
this
very
really
Curry.
Like
it's like if you took it a hair lower, it would be like Tim Curry in Legend.
Yeah.
Oh please.
Oh my God! Him and
no, it's right.
And he was a Lotor. He was one of the previous Lotors, which I found out as I was Googling this when I first got it. I was like, "Oh, Tim Curry did this." Okay.
Those are some big stockings to fill,
yes,
sir.
Yes, exactly.
I can't say I'm surprised at that at all. That seems like a very Tim Curry thing to do.
Yeah.
It is. But I liked in this episode too. I mean, and some of this I feel like is having that sort of insider information from having talked to Lauren and Joaquim about it, but the fact that in this episode they were calling out all of sort of the stereotypes that I think people were sort of annoyed with at the beginning of the show.
We'll never get rid of you, Shiro. You're the most popular character.
So funny.
And then funny hunk, and nobody understands the technology. And I'm like, this is the most self-aware episode we have ever had.
Yeah.
And they have stacked themselves like cheerleaders to try to form Voltron. So.
And Allura playing Keith.
Oh my God.
The character of Allura is the damsel in distress.
So
in all of
funny.
These performances.
But the single best frame of the entire season season of all right, you'll be Keith, and just her terrifying her face. It was beautiful.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of the reasons that the show is just so much fun, because it works on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go ahead and you can watch it and just cursory and, oh, that's funny. And then you can pick out the different threads, and you can pick out how they're poking fun at themselves, and they're poking fun at the genre, and they're poking fun at, you know, just lots of different places, and it's just so smart.
Yeah.
It's like hibachi. That's how I think of it. You know, when you go to like hibachi restaurants, like, oh, rice, and oh, baby corn, ooh, steak, and you're just going around your plate in a circle. That's how I feel with this show. It's like, oh, this is really funny. Oh, that's very serious. Oh, lore. You know, like, all this stuff is happening where you're constantly moving on to something else you like, and then by the time you're like, oh, wait, it's funny again, or whatever it is, it's just... There's so many different things happening.
This episode's like, where they do like the onion volcano. Just like,
yes, that's exactly
they put
it.
Shrimp into
Can I just say how disappointed I am now that they use the green laser? It makes no sense.
What?
Oh yeah,
they use the green laser beam during that they're on the volcano, and it's like. But it's
future
volcano.
Space volcano.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think
all of her light
they use a laser against the smoke, and it's like.
Although now they use fire.
Yeah. Oh, I've yet to experience that. I only go to authentic.
Oh my god! Just
you don't go to cheesy chains.
No lasers in my hibachi.
Get those lasers out of here.
I want fire and smoke. And
I was
going
to say,
turn your brain off. Go to Benihana and call it a night.
Yeah, I've never experienced laser hibachi.
No, well, hold on. We should laser hibachi. Now that sounds
that would
cool.
Be
okay, if you find that, I am so there with
okay,
you.
Perfect.
Okay,
hashtag laser
that would be yes.
It sounds like laser tag, but also there's a buffet.
Well, now I just feel like they had a missed opportunity in this episode to do like the laser light show of the Voltron show.
We kind of had that we. I love that we had this giant armadillo rat where you could basically get rid of it the same way that I amuse my cat when I'm trying to do something important, is turn on the automatic laser pointer I have sitting at the bottom of the stairs and let her chase it up the wall for 20 minutes.
Wait, you have an automatic laser pointer? That's
yes.
a thing?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a cat toy.
It does it for you. It's great.
The future's weird.
So it's like, Winter, I'm playing Overwatch. I need both hands. You know what? Fine.
By the way,
that's one of the inventions we needed.
It does work for little children, too. I'm just saying, if you have to babysit nieces and nephews, they work great.
Look at how surprised I am not.
But
yeah, I love that we had this giant horrifying armadillo thing, and that for one, everyone
for thing,
bought it.
Yeah, it didn't
it was
know
just
what
like,
was going on.
It's smoke day, and I'm walking, you know, like how, what was it, clear day?
Yeah.
It was back to its normal, and it was just doing its thing, and then it got its ass kicked by Voltron.
I think that's why they didn't kill it. Like,
Voltron really managed to do much.
I don't remember.
It was
foggy when I watched it, so I was sleepy.
Voltron didn't really manage to do much to it. Like, they lasered it, and it kind of went, whatever.
Get it away from people.
Yeah.
It's confused. Yeah. It might hurt these people.
Yeah.
Get it out. Which is the right thing to do.
It'll follow the shiny light. And again, I love that they established it and that it came back. Like, I know that people didn't like this episode, and you're entitled to your opinion, even if you're wrong, but I thought it was still very well constructed.
No, it was super fun, and I think in part of the, you know, drawing the monster away, it's all kind of part of that lesson of, you know, do the right thing, and you don't always just go around and murder everybody, because that's not the heroic way of things.
And also for Karan, it also reminded me a lot of Sokka in Season 3 of Avatar Last Airbender. I know I keep going back to that, but it's a good linchpin.
Of
Karan figuring out Allura just got made into a paladin, for God's sake. Now, where does that leave him?
Fit in? Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, this is something that I need to succeed at so that I can be a valued member of the team, and he pushes himself way too far, which is really relatable.
Very relatable.
Yeah.
It's good that what prompted all of this was a show that was a complete failure, like, across the board.
Yeah.
And that's what prompted all of this in the first place.
Well, and you start with an audience of 12, and then when you're done, the entire audience is gone. It's like, there's 3 feet between you and the quote-unquote stage. Just go talk to them.
Yeah.
Person to person. That would work so much better than, no, okay, here's a script you got 5 minutes ago. Go.
No rehearsal. I think they did fine for
rehearsal. Yep. And, you know, guys, this episode was automatically going to win me over because they went back to the space mall. So,
And we got another
Did we find out it was the same space mall?
I was under the impression that it was the same space mall.
Oh, yeah.
Varcon was playing with the little toys. Like, we saw Varcon again.
They
so.
Wasted zero time merchandising. Yeah. Well done, producer Coran.
Yeah. I feel like Coran didn't merchandise, and there is a lot of black market Voltron toys going around. Like, we don't have time for that. We just need to, like, he gave it to someone else and said, look, we just need
how
to kick back.
How do you know
back.
The space mice didn't do it? Hello?
The real brains behind the operation.
That's what I'm saying. I've seen
there.
Cinderella.
Yeah. Yeah. Space mice plushies. Throwing that out there. I know Lauren.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, I want little, just the little toys, like a set of them. You know, like the tiny little. Like
I would buy them, but my
plastic.
Cats
yeah.
would definitely take them for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But that's even fine. That's part of the.
Then you
what's
go
wrong
to the
with
pet,
that?
Go into the pet market, make them pet toys.
I know, man. Oh, those space mice. They are full of possibilities. Now, just get on merchandising this show as quickly as the people in the show get on merchandising. The show.
I'm just imagining them in this big board meeting, like all these very serious looking people in space future suits sitting at this long table, and then them at the head just yelling at them in mouse. We're very sorry. We know the prototype didn't match. We know the hair color is wrong. We're working on it, I promise.
I would just like to see this episode, a shorter version, like 3 or 4 minutes, just with the space mice in Coran.
Aww.
Just like Coran, like, taking the space mice out on a tour. And them, like, leaping onto the stage.
It's like a
and doing their
flea
version.
Circus, but it's a mouse circus.
But it's space.
Oh, I guess. They've already shown that they can do tricks. We had them putting on a little show for Allura.
And they're magic
seasons ago.
We know
that.
Gotta take it on the road.
Yeah.
On the space road.
They'd be like the bus and truck road. Version, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, for the kiddies. The really little
that's
kiddies.
That's the mall
show.
Wait. That's what we should go to next, the space carnival. Or something like, I mean,
and they've got crappy Voltron thing where, like, the arm is blue and, why not?
Yeah.
It's got, like, a horn in the middle instead.
It's like Voltram or something.
Voltram? That's terrible.
No, that would be the thing you'd ride around the park.
That's what I was thinking.
Terrible.
I feel like they should merchandise
the careful getting on the Voltram.
There was a thing in a town by me, Flemington Fair. Do you know Flemington? You're from New Jersey.
Just for a few seconds.
You're very lucky. It's as terrible as the name sounds. And I'm sorry, everyone from Flemington. But I'm allowed to say that. I grew up very near there. And there was a Flemington Fair where they had an Indiana Jones thing, but it was, like, spelled wrong. And, like,
like Idaho Jones?
It was something
Pennsylvania
like that.
James.
It was, yeah, exactly. But, like, there was an airbrushed, like, image of him that was just, like, it looked more like Steve Martin than Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I kind of love that.
All things considered, I would watch that. I would watch Steve Martin.
Yeah. Steve Martin as Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Come on, we've got to get out of here.
Yeah,
Indiana Jones. Hey.
I don't need you. All I need is this ancient idol, and I'll be fine.
Him going around and thinking that'd be amazing.
And this paddleball game, and this ancient Indian idol, and that's all I need. It was the greatest cosplay I've ever seen at Comic Con.
Really, a jerk?
Was a guy, I swear, all I see is this guy walking past and he's got his pants around his ankles. And I'm thinking, well, that's weird and probably dangerous. And then he notices he's carrying a chair. And he's wearing a pink robe. And I go, that is genius.
Yep.
And I get him to turn around and he's got the paddle ball and he's got the lamp. Oh. And I say, of course... Can I swear?
Sure.
Yeah.
Where's shithead?
Yeah.
He says, and without missing a beat, he goes, I don't need him. All I need is this chair and this lamp and this paddleball game, and that's all I need.
Oh, you teed him up perfectly. That was.
But, I mean, I just was, it was so just
then
after
can you imagine
my heart.
His day being made of, like, no, nobody gets this costume. Thank you.
But he held it together. Oh,
opened up.
The next greatest thing, and nobody cared. I'm standing at one corner, one intersection, and here come original Cylons, and here come stormtroopers, and I'm sitting there going, fight, and everybody's looking at me like going, that's like, were none of you alive in 1977? You people suck.
Probably not.
I know. Trust me, I know. I'm that old.
I mean, I wasn't alive in 1977, so.
Wow. I know. But you make up for it.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's like every time someone brings a stormtrooper cosplay to Gallifrey, there's Cybermen everywhere, and this one stormtrooper, and I'm just like, do something. Someone do something, please.
It's a lost stormtrooper. To bring back to
he knows
the
who
Avatar
he is.
Thing, I put a pin in that in my brain. I am constantly making Avatar references when we record. I'm like, oh, there's like that thing in Avatar, and Laura walked in. We're like, yeah, yeah, we know AJ. It's like the thing in Avatar. Like, because I compare everything to Avatar.
Well, then let me ask you, do you consider Lotor to be more Space Zuko or Space Azula?
I had this conversation.
Ooh. Oh, that Avatar. Because here I'm thinking not big, tall, blue people.
No, not the blue people. No.
The blue Smurfy cats.
No.
Just say it.
Sorry.
We don't talk about the movie.
Well, in my personal opinion, I think he's a weird mixture of both. Mm-hmm. Because he's not really... I mean, he's definitely not just Zuko, and he's definitely not Azula.
Yeah, he's not just angry at his dad.
Yeah. And I think that's why, to me, he's interesting, is because there is sort of this war of, like, if Zuko and Azula are one person, that's a tough place to be.
Azuka.
So, I mean, that's just what I guess. But, yeah. I think
but it's a good insight to have as a fan of the character in the show. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah, maybe. All these theories are going to blow up now, and it's like, that's just what I'm guessing. So
my brain works on too many wavelengths. You say Zuko, and I'm thinking Danny.
You better shut up.
So Danny Zuko, yeah, and the Azula Inn on Stranded Santa Monica Boulevard. Have you seen, there's a, yeah, Azula Inn, does anyone ever?
No, really?
Yeah, I think it's called the Azula Inn on, I think it's Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, I would
but every time
that.
I pass it, I'm like, ha-ha!
Nerd thing!
Yeah, and I think I like took a picture I was going to send to Gray and then didn't, because I was like, Gray's not going to give a shit about this.
There's a street in Burbank called Sparks, and I laugh every time I go by it, because thrilling adventure hours.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm so with you.
My friends own a house on Spark Street in Burbank, so. And they are thrilling adventure hour fans.
It's
so.
Just one of those things where you laugh every time, and you're like, oh man, I wish there was somebody I could share that joke with.
No,
well, there's also Lamer Street in downtown Burbank, which, as a Kingdom Hearts fan, is just like, ah.
Wait, was that Lamer?
Lamer.
L-A-M-E-R.
Yeah, it's Lamer.
As opposed to lamest.
We totally owned you, Lamers. And everyone just goes...
That I identify with.
Not to get too off track, but Arden Street. Mm-hmm. I always, from American Horror Stories, Jessica Lange's always going, Dr. Arden. So every time I pass it, I go, Dr. Arden. I'm always by myself when I'm on that street. So, yeah.
All right.
We're not talking about Voltron anymore.
I'm going to say this last one.
Okay.
There, I don't know if it's still up there, but up in Northern California, there used to be a sign for an exit off of 880, and it was for A Street downtown. And so I remember distinctly the first time I went past it, I drove past it, and I read, and I go, a street downtown? Which one?
This map sucks.
And of course I'm thinking, wouldn't that be great if I exit and the cops follow me and they get off at a completely different street?
We're pursuing
but yes,
down the street.
Thank you, Emma. That's why we're pals. Because you knew exactly what it meant. It says, a street downtown? Which one? Can you like at least narrow it down for me?
They had to figure it out when they made the sign.
Yeah, it's a street downtown. It's
in the comments.
It's a rough day.
Just take your chances. It's on a street.
Yeah, I think it's San Leandro, so I need to move there just so I can tell people. Yeah, so what exit? Oh, it's a street downtown.
So in the comments, you guys, local landmarks are things with names that you just love or are referential. I want to hear about them because we got all of California's.
Please.
And I want to say in the chat, Shadow Angel 16 said, every time Neil is on the show, I end up in tears of joy.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you. Yeah. It beats tears of frustration. Because I know that's usually your booth producer. It's going... We've got a list of 17 things. We've gotten to two.
That's my list. The producer's just sitting in there eating popcorn and making sure that I don't blow out the audio.
We're all right.
I want to give a quick shout out to Bird Owl on Twitter, who drew a picture really quick.
Oh,
new
great.
Galra Empire recruiting methods, space noodle balloon animals.
Oh, what?
Really cute little quick
That's
sketch.
Bananas.
That is hysterical.
That's
complete with sound.
This is great.
Oh my god.
Adorable. So
actually, that sounded like a Transformer sound.
Yeah. If they were like that's wet and there was a duck in there.
Organic Transformers.
Yeah. Organic Transformers.
I mean, I believe those are caterpillars, but they don't usually go backwards.
Every time they transform, they're just screaming in agony.
I believe we call that animorphs. And we're back.
Move on to talking about episode 3, which obviously there's a lot to talk about there. We've got some good names being thrown out there in the chat of places in towns that are weird. According to Flying Cheese, apparently in Vancouver, there is a park called Dude Chilling Park.
All right, okay.
Like I love that. A really rich stoner bought that.
Yeah,
park
exactly.
What are you gonna do in that park, Dude Chilling?
And Princess Pony says in Boston there's a street called Friendship Street.
Nice. Hey, right around the corner from where I grew up, there was a place called Weem Away.
Only one though, so it's just a Weem Away.
All right.
You couldn't help it.
Cobalt says SoCal has a place called Holt Street.
Steve-o!
Macy Gage says there's a road called Holt, North Kaplan, where I live.
Yes, no, I got a picture of that. Of that. It says N. Kaplan Boulevard. It's like, I feel so important.
That's funny that you pointed out Holt Street. And Holt gives me like a stomachache because I had the worst like apartment experience in my life. But we thought it was so funny. We're like, S. Holt, Steve Holt. Yeah. I thought that was the funniest thing ever, but it turned out to be a nightmare. Anyway, sorry, you were saying
things. And for those of you wondering, we do know about Hell, Michigan. Yeah. We all know about Hell, Michigan. As well as Dayton and Marion, Ohio.
Where are we? I walked out like 20 minutes ago.
What happened?
Is there anything else we want to hit for episode 4?
No, because I just want to talk about episode 3, because there's a lot of great stuff in there, beginning with that video game.
I just want to champion a BBOB for a future lion. That's all.
Oh, Bebo Bees, 100%.
Champion of Voltron made of Bebo Bees.
Yeah. Kill all the paladins. And have all the Bebo Bees. Just full of Bebo Bees.
Hey, again, multiverse theory. There's a multiverse where the entire Voltron crew is made up of Bebo Bees.
Absolutely.
Yep. Are all the lions Bebos? Are they like noodle lions? Is they like cat dog?
No, I can't deal with that. That would look so weird. That would be like Q-Wop or some of them trying to make it function.
So do you think they're like enemies are the round balloons or needles?
Oh, yeah. Probably needles.
Their enemies are the blockheads from Gumby.
Okay. That got weird. Well, no, I can't mix puppet anime.
You just go spiraling out.
Stop motion and
Phantom Zone.
I was gonna say Phantom Zone. Someone put a glass cube. This is a total tangent. This glass cube.
It'll be the first.
I used to work at Spike. And they would have, like, Bagel Thursday. And so they put out this acrylic thing, and you could slide out sign that was like, please close the cream cheese or something stupid. So I took out the thing, and I put a picture of the people in the Phantom Zone in there. And I was so proud of it, and no one got it. Oh. I thought it was so funny. I was like, I'm a genius.
Gold star, you tried.
Yeah, I tried. Because it looked amazing. I was like,
and people were thinking you got... Wait, they got the bagels from Phantom Zone?
Yeah, what
bagels?
Is this? Why is Terrence Stamp in the cream cheese? Why? Yeah. That was one of my
best show ever.
Okay, so
who knew?
What is this? Locks before Zod? What is this?
The Yo before Locks.
Well, of course.
Oh my god.
Okay. Locke brings everything to a screeching halt.
Let's move back to Blacksite, which I enjoyed because a lot of the time we have a lot of really heavy plot with the Voltron crew, and we have a couple of, and now back at the murder ranch scenes with the dumpster fire. I love that most of this was dumpster fire.
Back at the murder ranch, it was dumpster fire? That's horrifying. That also sounds like a Halloween Horror Nights.
It does. That sounds like a maze.
Exactly.
Like, all right, after we go to Halloween, we're going to go to murder ranch dumpster fire.
Yeah. It's real good time.
That sounds delightful.
I mean,
why do you guys try to make it like it's a bad thing?
It's been a dumpster fire since season one.
I don't know. It's here. Galaxy-wide subjugation and
who said?
To be fair, we've got two patriarchs of the Galar Empire in here. Hey. Referring it to as such is a little rough.
Yeah.
Let's be understanding.
Well, interestingly,
campfire.
This episode's
laser show. Laser show dumpster laser show.
Come to the Gar Empire. We have laser hibachi.
Yeah. Also,
look,
really
seriously, have we had an episode where there's like people standing and going,
you know, I'm tired of the Galra rule because mail delivery is late and the trash pickup sucks. And
the trains never run.
I mean, you don't get a lot of complaints from the general populace.
We've had episodes of people being like, the Galra Empire is forcing us to mine this stuff out of our planet and it's going to die.
But it's not like they won't be relocated.
One planet out of an entire galaxy.
Thank you.
Actually, we had a fair few number of those episodes.
The actual Galra seem happy, right? Everyone seems happy on the ship.
The Empire.
Right.
Lotor likes to be like, hey, come join the party. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. That is very true.
He learned from the old man.
All the appetizers and leave out the back door.
I would love to see what he did with it. What kind of crazy parties would happen and weird stuff if Lotor
Just full on in charge.
Yeah, it was just
My parents are out of town. Guys, we're throwing a party.
Oh my God. Now I just want like a side story that is like
What do you think? Space Caligula? Is that what you're saying?
No. Not at all.
Just lots of like mixed breed Galra beer pong going on.
Yes. Hagar kicking in the door like, what's going on in here?
I don't know if she'd be around long if Lotor took over.
I know. Because
be like Dr. Evil, just hit a button.
Because I feel like
you're not my real mom.
I was going to say, he would try. I apologize if Lotor mentioned this in a later episode and I'm technically spoiling anything, but was this the episode where Lotor did actually say, My mother, Hinerva?
No.
Okay, great. Well, sorry, spoilers. Hey.
we'll get to that in just a little bit because I have no idea what she's talking about
for the record.
Yeah, I went completely blank. Were you saying something?
Was that English?
No, I didn't hear it.
We've nearly murdered half the chat because they're all saying that they're dying laughing or, in one case, choking on soda at dumpster laser fire.
Cheers to that.
Yes.
Not really.
Piano My Heart says that the Hinerva thing was released in a clip, so I'm fine.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Oh, you're good.
So
okay.
You're good. Cool. All right. Our display just kind of went to screensaver.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you don't need it.
Whatever.
What was on there anyway?
That's the Galra Hibachi laser situation.
I mean, it's the timer, and it's also if our engineer needs to tell us anything. So our engineer was telling us Aurora Borealis.
I was going to say, we had sound effects, like, throughout the first, like, 5 minutes of this, and then the engineer just gave up.
That's fine.
Like, yeah, it was really peppy and cute, and now it's just... Having to catch up with all of this?
What, like there's enough dead air to actually throw them in?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the laser hibachi, I guess is what we're calling it. For one, we have this crazy armor for Zarkon now.
He gets, like, his own little cool mech suit.
I like that he doesn't take it off, too. He's, like, sitting in his, like, normal chair still wearing it.
You don't know why he needs it. Sure. You don't know what damage, you know, Shiro did. And by the way, talking about, you know, like, self-reflection on things I've done before, I'm surprised nobody recognized. It sure seemed like as Zarkon was getting into his uniform, it sure felt a lot like Tychus Finley getting into his.
See, to me, it felt a lot like the making of a Robeast.
Because if you go back and you watch the beginning of StarCraft II, he's getting put into the suit. Mm. You get the legs that grab around. You get the shoulder pieces getting put into place and getting them screwed in. Now, I'm sure. Look, when you're wearing armor permanently, there are only so many ways that it works. You know, you don't just pour it liquid over somebody's head and, like, shave it down.
A crown for a king.
You know? I just found that kind of interesting, which of course is why, you know, I'm sitting there and thinking. There's obviously a lot more damage that was done to Zarkon than we know. Like because if he's getting put into armor like that to sit on the throne in his own ship, okay, it's not a matter of necessarily protection.
He's on the throne in his own ship.
If he can't take it off, there's got to be some way.
Jiminy Christmas. I'm not talking about a golden toilet here, people, so stop it.
I mean, a lot of people in chat were wondering how he goes to the bathroom. And more people.
All the questions.
But more people were comparing.
The Iron Man method.
Right.
We're done.
Do Galra even go to the bathroom?
We haven't seen it. We don't know.
Well, we haven't seen Pidge do it either, but we're going to go ahead and assume that she does.
Why did you go
to the bathroom at one in the Spaceball episode? She had a dilemma over which restroom her to use because of the symbols. Yeah.
But that might not have been to use it. It might have been just to wash her hands.
All right, okay. I am cutting this off here. That is enough. We are going back to the subject at hand.
I have a question.
It was
so,
relatively
now, was he putting on the armor to be life support, or was he putting on the armor because he's like, ugh, I have to talk to my son? I need a buffer.
It was emotional armor. He doesn't really need it.
I need actual physical armor to talk to my potentially only child.
Please get me my emotional armor.
No. If there would have been a helmet or a shield or a spit shield or something.
Spit shield?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Salad bar Lotor. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you speak with a forked tongue there, son.
Whoa.
So.
Somewhere, someone is going through screen caps going, wait, is his tongue forked? Metaphors.
Speaking of Lotor's mouth. So I tweeted this morning. I guess it was Lotor's mouth is their Instagram. I was on Instagram and someone commented under a photo of my dog and was just like, it was something along the lines of like, my Instagram is all photos of Lotor's mouth. And I was like, okay, I don't know why you put this here, but I am definitely clicking this. And I clicked it, and it's exactly that. It's just close-ups of Lotor's mouth. Have you found it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's all it is.
It's amazing.
It's all it is.
I don't get it, but good for you, whoever you are.
Just various close-ups of Lotor's mouth.
He does have a pretty mouth. So.
What
do you mean? I didn't say it like anything.
That's not the bizarre thing. The bizarre thing is that the profile picture is Lotor as a kawaii witch.
Is that what it is?
That's the only way that I could describe it, because he's blushing and he's got a witch's hat.
Lotor's mouth? That's the one problem I have with this now.
Yeah.
Seems to violate the basic
rule. I'm
pretty
sure that's a taco cosplay.
I just want that person to know that made me laugh quite a bit. I was like, what do I do with this information? If I tweet this out, are people going to like skewer me? Because I never know. Sometimes I'll tweet something out and I think it's innocent, and it turns out to not be. And I'm like, oh no!
Assume the answer is yes. Did you guys see that?
I said, I was like, who would if Lotor could have a pet? And I said, oh, the paladins.
How could that possibly be misconstrued?
I don't know. It was late, probably, and I was just like, oh, this is nothing.
What?
I meant it, a Goblin King Jareth gift in response to that.
I think I meant it more like prisoners was my thought. I didn't mean anything with like, like baby oil or anything.
Right, right.
Are you aware?
Oh, you people!
I'm digging.
Are you aware of it?
Oh, come on!
Give Dad the shovel. We're done.
The best way to get people to stop talking about it is to go into more detail.
I want to just own up to it. I'm like, yeah, I messed up.
He just meant in chains on leashes. Relax.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's really standard with pets.
I know. Absolutely no way that could be misconstrued.
So we could have 2 hours
Dreamers
tonight,
are
right?
On fire right now. Like they, you know, they're there for most of the interviews. Sometimes we did an interview and we're like in the DreamWorks boardroom and they're like, oh, no. Don't talk about that. And now we're talking about this. You can't catch us here. We're in a sealed room. There's no air in here.
Somewhere a DreamWorks PR person is listening to this show and crying.
It's Seth or Ryan.
Like, I hope you know that.
To tie it back to the show a little bit.
Wait, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
I don't know
about
anymore.
I have another show to get to, but I don't think I'm going to make it.
Episode 3.
If you need to go on a specific one-person quest, it's okay.
No, it's okay.
I encourage you.
So to tie it back to this show, this is the first time we've seen Lotor and Zarkon face to face. Is this kind of how you were expecting this interaction to go?
Yeah? No? I don't know. I've said this, I think, in the last thing we did. I like that they...
Which will be the next thing you'll hear, because it hasn't come out yet.
Right. Yeah, that's right. There you go. I think they both were sort of just, they're both playing each other in the way that they would both expect, if that makes any sense.
It was just kind of
a formality.
Well, because I was going to say, because it was like, Lotor showed up, Zarkon was like, please leave. And he's like, no, okay.
Yeah.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah. No, nobody seemed really surprised.
No.
They just kind of, I think they're just going through the motions.
Oh, I think each of the other one believes that they're playing a long con against the other, and it's I'm just waiting to see how it all ends up, you know.
I enjoyed
unfolding, especially given how things ended.
I love that the spanner in the works here was Hagar and Narty.
Yeah,
of
dude.
All people.
Sure, like,
I'm sure she just had this moment of
spoilers.
Is that
my
cat?
Is that my cat?
No, I felt
it's
like
the same cat.
It is the same cat. And I thought that because Narty never speaks or anything, that like Narty was maybe kinda in on it the whole time.
I seriously doubt it.
I don't know.
I think
the comment would have come up much quicker if she'd been in on it the whole time.
Even like a head nod or something. Just
I was just so surprised because out of all of his generals, she was the one I was most afraid of. And it just shows how powerful Hagar
is.
I'll
give you this. Maybe Narty, once upon a time, before Kova the cat came into her life, was a different person. Maybe. But I think since she and Kova have been together and Kova's been like her eyes and ears, that it's been like, it's been a thing where she's been like a Hagar spy.
Is that my cat?
Oh, that's that
like I sense an ancient power.
Thought,
it's a cat.
I kind of thought Lotor killed
the
cat, and I was like, oh no! Oh. And then when it cut back, I was like, oh good.
Left the cat on a base that was going to be exploded, standing over the dead body of her companion.
But
is that how that went down?
I'm sure the cat survived.
I'm sure the cat's fine. But I also did kind of enjoy that Lotor. Because I think that Lotor almost maybe, this is now me just wildly theorizing, wanted the cat to live, because it's like, well, maybe the cat will come back and then I'll know for sure that not my mom is spying on me.
Maybe he missed.
Yeah. That's also possible.
Yeah, I meant to do that.
Totally that faceless girl that's evil and not this cat that's been alive for 9,000 years.
Yeah.
Well, here's another question as to whether or not he even knows Hagar is Hinerva.
But he does know. Well, no. Yeah. I mean, he knows Hinerva's his mom, but he doesn't know that Hagar's Hinerva.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. People keep asking me, and I don't even know those words.
It's not like you could say anything if you did know.
Yeah. I've already said too much today.
Yeah.
You brought up a tweet from a year ago that we'd all kind of buried.
Yeah. It was August-ish. I'm still new to all this.
It's Twitter. it's been a Twitter year.
I guess that's true. A Twitter year. It's like dog years. Yeah.
Everyone's going to scroll back and find it. Everyone's going to scroll back and find it. So it starts with this, you know, we're playing each other. We kind of know that we're playing each other. And ends with a full-on manhunt. My son is a criminal against the Empire. Shoot on sight.
Yeah.
Dang.
Been there.
Uber relatable. Totally. Just like Corinne. Just like this is something that we all go through. Your dad hunts you until you're dead.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's not happening to everyone else.
Mark, is your family okay?
In Jersey, there ain't much to do.
Yeah, it is pretty typical out there.
Yeah. World's most dangerous game.
Yeah.
Just that whole sequence where he's like, I'm just going to like glide on the surface of the sun and
that was intense.
It'll probably work out.
Yeah, sweet space battle.
He's fine.
It was a good space battle. I still feel like the little ships that Lotor and his like general ladies have, like they totally
the legs.
They totally combine to make a Voltron robot.
They look like they do. They remind me of those tripods that have like weird.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah. The ball shaped thing that tripod. They look like weird creatures.
Yeah,
yes.
But I love Lotor's first ship, the one that was like. It reminds me of the Outrider from Shadows of the Empire. Does anyone know?
It's got this
thing where it like twists around, and that must be a nightmare to control though. Where you're just like, oh. Crap.
I know, and you're like,
too many levers.
You're like, this looks really cool, but what is the point of all of this?
Extremely impractical. Yeah,
yeah. But anytime they cut,
you don't know if it's impractical. You've never flown a space.
Well, no, it's because anytime they cut into the cockpit, it's just like that's all it is. It's just levers forward.
Well, it's the same for the lions too. It's like, all right, we got
three-dimensional flight,
a tail, and God knows what else. But
but I mean,
backwards and
can I just happen to say that when you got a brain connection between your ship and your own brain, and then you gotta press a button or move a lever, that does seem a little redundant.
You're right, it does.
I guess this is just like more of what you're doing.
It's just, I'm human and I need to move, you know, because I can't just sit here and go.
Need something to do.
Yeah.
Plus, it would make for really boring episodes.
It would.
They were built as ships first. They didn't know that the magical mental connection was a thing.
They just sit down in the chair and go.
Can you imagine? That'd be great. They're all communicating telephathically, but you don't get to experience any of it.
Be like,
it's all a dream.
Yep. On a new episode. be like, you know, Stephen Hawking would be the blue lion.
No, let's not go here.
Captain Christopher Pike would be like, you know, the yellow lion.
It's literally just, you know, Professor
Xavier. Let's see how many more people I can come up with in the upstairs.
The person I thought of was the guy in X-Men.
I love how you guys all got quiet
just,
on
like,
that.
Drips powers. Yeah. The one who has powers, but like just does this in a corner.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Striker's son. Yeah.
Striker's son. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it would just
be the Red Lion.
It would just be watching people in the Matrix. It's just people sitting in chairs.
Yeah, that's true.
I love the idea of just like room tone and just seeing them all.
I mean, that might be where Shiro is right now. We don't know.
The only thing that we need to mention is the return of Kaltenecker and the milkshakes.
Yeah,
they bring all the Altaians to the yard.
Yes. They do. Yeah. Except the Altaians get real freaked out when they show up.
Yeah. Well, you get to know how the sausage is made, and sometimes it's like, I'm a city person. I don't want to know
how
that farm works.
Did we ever find out why physiologically they don't get brain freeze?
No, they just said that they didn't.
Yeah, it's just Voltron science, you know.
That's amazing.
I mean, they do have like because they're Altaians. We know that they have like chameleon-esque abilities, so they can change their body physiology. Maybe they just regulate their temperature.
They just move the brain a little bit further away from the roof of the mouth. It's fine. Yeah.
That clip, by the way, was like so when we were up on the stage for Comic-Con, like seeing it like this was extra weird because it was like, I mean, we're looking out at this giant audience, but then we're looking at it skewed. It was very weird. It was but we also, they gave us like a year ago like this bag, a tote bag. Did you get one of these weird things? They had like, maybe they didn't give it to us, maybe I took it, of the pictures. It was a picture of Karan and Allura's reaction to the milkshake, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that image came from that. And I've had this thing in my car for like a year, and now I was like, oh, that's the thing. Wow. I was like, it takes a long time to make stuff, but I had no idea. I was like, why is there this stylized?
Hard.
Yeah,
it is,
but
hard.
It's this really weird stuff. You know, that black and white image. I was like, why did they make this bag? Now I know. It's them reacting to the milkshake.
Hashtag Kaltenecker.
Yep. That's
so glad.
Feel very differently about that bag now.
Yes.
So glad that they brought Kaltenecker
back. We had Matt and the tour of the ship. Nerds being nerds is one of my favorite things on this show.
I said
them go at it.
Before, Matt is he's a gift to humanity, to the Voltron television series or Netflix series. You know, Netflix and television are one and the same these days.
People love Matt.
Before
Matt even like did anything, people were like, Matt! Like, ripping their eyes out over Matt. Right. He showed up and was like, Pidge. And like, that was it.
I was so neutral about Matt. I was like, I guess I care about Matt because like Pidge cares about Matt. But
I think that's why.
When he actually showed up, I was like, nah, I care about Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Matt's a cool guy. I love his outfit too. Star Fox.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fleet. Where the guy, like, there was, like, Slippy piloting thing, and, like...
Hang on.
Oh,
we need to put a spoiler warning out.
Oh.
All right.
Well,
guys, wrap it up. We're officially going there. We're doing spoiler warning. We have very, very few minutes.
Sorry. So, all we need to ask is, what, Lotor, at the end of the episode 6?
What do you mean, what?
Well, like, you just said, so
not much I can...
So, what? I know you can't say that. No, you obviously can't say anything. But, you know, we just have to mention, obviously, that Lotor shows up and is like... Hey guys, let's be friends now.
Well, no, I think it's him tagging them back from the end of episode 3. It's like, oh, they helped me. I can use this.
Here, I'll just tell you the whole,
I can use
everything
this.
Everything that happens.
Just tell us
next.
Everything.
I think it was.
I have no idea.
I do want to know character insight wise. Maybe if it's giving anything away, then obviously don't talk about it. But was he expecting his generals to turn on him, or was that a genuine surprise?
What do you think?
What do I think? I don't think so. I think he's always kind of looking out for number one. At least I didn't expect it. But, like, I don't think so. I don't think he was expecting that because they're his people. They're his group. And I was genuinely shocked when I read that. I was like, oh, no. He has this cool crew. No, what's happening? And actually,
I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
He did murder the hell out of one of them.
He did.
But it was, I think maybe he should have explained and like taken a second and be like, oh, guys, by the way, so I was thinking that maybe she was spying on us. That's why I did that. Does he do that? Does he explain that? I don't remember that happening.
He explains nothing to them until they need to know.
I think that's a need to know.
I think that is a need to know, but I think there is also probably a part of Lotor, as you say, AJ, because he's very much as charismatic as he is, and like, yes, everyone come to my Galra Empire. It's awesome.
we've got French toast.
Yes.
We have milkshakes and blackjack.
But he is.
Milkshakes are on the other side.
Yeah. But he is always looking out for himself. So I think maybe there is a level of, some of the other girls in league with Narty / Cat?
Yeah, we'll find out
in the future. So,
yeah.
Not right now, because we got to wrap up the show.
Okay. Well, I have all the answers, but since we're out of time.
Twitter is going to crucify you for that.
Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
It's been such a blast. Do you have any other projects that you're working on that you can tell people about?
Forces of Destiny.
Yeah, Han Solo.
Excited about that. Oh my god! Cool. Yeah. That's like the dream job for anything Harrison Ford. I'm such a Harrison Ford fan to do Han Solo is right. Like, oh my god! Yep.
And next, Pennsylvania James.
Indonesia James.
Pennsylvania James is great. That's a terrible name. I know. I love it. I don't know what else are you? You're working on things.
Nope.
Secrets. That's the thing about voice acting. Is like there's very few things you could actually talk about. I'm at the weird in between where I can actually talk about something.
Destiny
comes out on PC, tomorrow. I am Gaul.
And I am lots of obnoxious orcs in Shadow of War.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. What a cool job. That's awesome.
It was fun to orc it up.
All right, well, thanks again for coming in,
you guys.
Thanks for inviting me to hang out with him.
Thanks for you crashing this. This is amazing.
Where can the people follow you online?
Twitter.
What name?
At my name, AJ Locascio. Awesome. Yeah, I expect like random gifts of like Phil Collins and stuff. That's
what that is. God bless
America. Why would we get gifts of Phil Collins?
Phil Collins is a gift.
I made like a tweet I was so proud of. I was just like, oh my god, if he wrote a book, would he use a Susu pseudonym? And I thought that was the funniest thing. I'm such a like goofy Phil Collins fan. We're like,
now we're getting applauded off.
Is that what that is? Wow. Okay, sorry. They
just should play us off with a theme song.
Yeah.
Another theme song for something that Neil was in.
Perfect Strangers.
The equivalent of the orchestra playing in an award show.
The hook will come out of that door eventually.
Yeah, Captain Hook.
Neil, where can the people find you?
I'm very easy to stalk. Follow my dog on Twitter at Buster Kaplan.
Who's adorable.
Who's awesome. Yeah. And I'm just Kneecap.
Yeah. So, Emma, where can the people find you?
I'm Emma Fife at Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE.
I'm Mark B. Donaghy. You find me at Mark B. Donaghy.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
You can follow Alexis Torres at ATorres890. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on Twitch and YouTube at KiaJay. That is KiaXet. Look at this beautiful hug over here, you guys. Aww. It's so great.
I'm all over the camera.
Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you next week for the finale.
Bye. Bye. Finale already?
Finale.
None of your twiddle hands.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Rapid Saw!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.